Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
We can clearly see that the most affected country at the moment around the world, it was obviously China, but the most affected country now is certainly Italy. And not just by the amount of cases they have, but sadly by the amount of deaths they have. And a lot of that is cultural as well. It's to do with Italians and I suppose in the way they live together and the way they interact together and the elderly population. But there was a great article by an author in The Guardian that I spotted, and it was Francesca Malandri. And she joins me on the line. Francesca, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you. Hello.
You're an author and a writer, and you wrote this wonderful kind of open letter stroke blog stroke whatever way we want to word it about. It's almost like time travel because we can look into the future because you're already in the future. You're 2 weeks in the future, essentially living in Rome, as to where the rest of Europe is at the moment, I suppose, because you guys were hit hardest and earliest by this. And firstly, what's it like in the situation you're in at the moment in Rome? Obviously, there's a lockdown at the moment and you're kind of nearly 3 weeks into it now. I mean, well, how does that feel now?
Yeah. Tomorrow will be 3 weeks that we're in lockdown here in Rome. You know, you must consider that, as you know, Italy is a long piece of land in the middle of the sea. So there are basically three zones, really, which is now divided. Yeah. I am in Rome, as I said, which is the center, and we're not really in the epicenter of the main catastrophe or tragedy.
Which would be northern Italy, yeah.
Exactly, in Lombardia, and especially now, the real tragic situation is in Bergamo, a city not far from Milan.
Can I ask you, Francesca, why do you think so many people, apart from the fact we know there's an elderly population, rather older, but I mean, they have a great health service in Italy. They were always known to have one of the best health services in the world, in fact.
Yeah.
And why do you think we've now over 10,000 people dead in Italy?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I can really not give you an answer, and I also, so to speak, do not want to give you my opinion because my opinion is actually worthless. I mean, I'm just a writer, and this is something that epidemiologists, virologists, healthcare experts are really looking into, and they are puzzled that they're coming up with ideas. And you know, I am not competent enough to give you an answer on what is indeed a pressing question because everybody's trying to understand what has gone wrong. And again, you know, the fact that both the contagion rate and the death rates in Italy are so different among these zones that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
It's probably something that doesn't have to do maybe with the whole national healthcare system of Italy, which, as you say, is really one of the best in the world. We're always rated up there with Germany and France. So it's something we're very proud of, actually.
Okay.
Very democratic, very inclusive, very cheap, very good. But it's something that is happening in that particular region.
Okay.
There, something has gone horribly wrong, but I really do not want to go into
But that's fine. Let me get to what you wrote in The Guardian, and you talk about this, that basically, you know, you can look from the future, so to speak, and you're looking at other countries who are kind of in the past, about 2 weeks in the past, 2.5 weeks in some cases in the past.
Yeah.
And I suppose advice that you can give people who, like Ireland, for example, I'm not sure if you're aware, but on Friday we introduced measures which are similar to a lockdown, not quite as strict.
Yeah.
But we're still pretty much housebound, only essential journeys, 2 kilometres from your house if you want to go for a walk, and 90% of businesses, 95% of businesses are closed, just essential services and shops and pharmacies open. So 3 weeks into it, what advice would you have for people to occupy themselves during this difficult time?
Oh, well, as I also write in the letter, you know, not everyone is in the same situation, and I really want to stress that class and personal situations really make the whole difference. If you are a privileged person, like I personally am, for instance, you know, I'm a writer and I'm used to staying home. That's where I work.
Yeah.
I have not stopped working because of the lockdown. In fact, I have even more time than before. But that's not the case for many people who have seen their jobs disappear. And with that, literally the means to pay the bills and even food next month. So you see, it's a very, very different situation. So giving a general advice would be very difficult. Some people are so worried and so really having a hard time.
But you will find, according to your article, that you will eat more. You'll suddenly develop lots of social network groups. You'll start looking up apocalyptic literature.
No, you don't want that. You can stick it out, but then no thanks.
Yeah, the eating is going to... They do believe a lot of people are going to put on a lot of weight over the show, because as well as being bored and playing board games and playing video games and watching TV, we're kind of going to the fridge a little bit more, so probably... and eating crappy food.
Well, I think the great winners of this situation is the online trainers whose videos are being now watched and downloaded by all the world. And I am too. I'm trying, you know, like everybody trying to move a little in my house and in my apartment. And some are good, very good.
Are you allowed to go for a walk in Rome, by the way? Can you go for a walk?
Not a walk, per se. I am allowed to go shopping, to buy, you know, food and staples.
And you have to get a letter. Do you have to get a letter to do that or something? No.
Well, not to go shopping, not to the supermarket and not to the vegetable market. No, not that.
Okay.
If I go, my shopping cart, I think, is proof enough that I'm actually doing that.
Okay.
I would need an authorization, a self-certification, as they call it, to go further away than, I think it's also about 2 kilometers. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, there's a range beyond which I'm not allowed to go.
Okay.
For instance, if I were to go and visit my mom, which I'm not doing now because she's elderly and I am a danger for her, so she's somewhere else. If I were to go and visit her, I would need that self-certification because she's farther away than that.
Well, maybe for our listeners who haven't read the article, you could paraphrase a little bit of it and tell us a bit about what you were thinking when you were writing this.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, let me tell you how amazed I am at this global response. You know, I've been receiving messages, I've been overwhelmed and trying to catch up with all the messages coming from literally all countries on the planet. Now, as of now, but it's constantly changing, it's been translated into 20 languages, including Malayalam and Bangla and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it's in 3 newspapers here today, by the way, just to let you know.
right. It's really making the rounds. And,
yeah.
My main impression is that, you know, I wrote it one evening because I was asked by the newspaper Libération in France to write a piece, a letter from Italy, because they were just going into lockdown. So they wanted to know, you know, what advice or what thoughts can we as Italians? So it was really a letter to the French, who are slightly less apart from us than you, the Irish, are, I think, in this time zone. They are closer, maybe just a week behind us. And it was very personal. It came out very fast, very from the heart.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at something here that talks about you will miss your adult children like you never have before.
Yes. That is a very personal thing, as you can imagine. That is the first time since they were born that we do not know when we will hug each other again, when we will actually see in person again.
Yeah.
Anybody who has children can certainly relate to that. It's very, very simple. It's not very sophisticated, but it's very simple. And
I suppose we appreciate that access that we have to each other, the liberation that we have on a permanent basis. We kind of tend to appreciate it now more that we don't have that liberty.
Yes. Are you thinking as much as I am, what would this lockdown be if we didn't have all this interconnected...
social media.
Interconnection. Exactly. Technologies. Yeah. And I'm living my life now. I'm having much more of a social life than I ever had. I'm constantly on Skype, on Zoom, on WhatsApp. And I'm also because, you know, people are so worried. We're all in this state of anxiety and uncertainty. Mm. So we all want to check with each other. How are you? So we keep on, you know, calling each other.
And you mentioned that as well. Old resentments and falling outs will seem irrelevant, and you'll call people you said you'd never call again.
Yes, in the great order of things, something suddenly very clearly look as petty as they, in fact, always were, probably, but now you can see it.
Yeah.
You put it in perspective.
And have you called, Francesca, have you called anybody that you said you'd never call again?
Well, I fortunately don't have anybody I thought I would never call again, which is
that's a good thing, yeah.
The person I'm living with did.
Right.
And it was quite a moment for both the caller and the called. It was something, you know, something emotional, and which is why, that's why I wrote that line. It's not something I lived personally, but something I had
Yeah, and also you mentioned as well that the supermarket, of course, becomes a social event. No, I know, slightly different in Italy. But, of course, you get to spot people and actually talk to other human beings in face-to-face. Yeah,
exactly. Although...
At distance.
Distancing rules. Yes. You can't hug, but at least you can wave your hand to someone actually.
You
there,
can see a real human being.
Yeah.
I mean, we never thought we'd have these conversations. I mean, I never thought I'd have this conversation in my lifetime.
Never. And there is, you know, of course, the main thing about this all thing is it's a tragedy. It's a catastrophe. It's bad. But then there are also many absurd, paradoxical, even funny things. Like, for instance, a friend of mine told me that she was fighting with her husband for the right to go down and to go and put out the trash.
which is something we just never want to do, is it?
No. That's not, you know, really shouting at her husband. It's my turn.
I'll do it. I said I'll do it. Yeah, of course. I mean, the way we're doing things online, which could be part of our future, by the way, as well. Our children are now being schooled online, and you know, and it's our job to be essentially the teacher's assistant and sit down and correct their homework and stuff like that, because the teacher's not around to do it. Unfortunately, I suppose you'll try not to think about the tragedy of all this as well, which is sadly the deaths. We try to block that out of our mind, don't we?
I think that's healthy. I mean, that's healthy. Coping thing. Death is not something we humans really enjoy thinking about, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So we have to keep on living, don't we?
And I suppose there's this kind of solidarity and this level of community that everybody is after this for the once time only, because every time I talk on the show, we're talking about, say, housing crisis, we're talking about healthcare problems, and everybody has a different view and a different point of view and a different goal. But whereas with this, we all have the one goal. So we all want the one solution, which is, when will it all end and how can we help to make it end?
Exactly. This is, in a way, awesome. It's something, literally, it provokes awe. I am in awe at all of this. I am amazed at the resonance that, for instance, it's just my personal case, my experience, for instance, the sentence you mentioned about having the children, adult children, away, so many of the messages I got was exactly this. Yes, I can feel that too, because my children are also far away. So yes, it's a shared experience of people all over the world. You know, we all are, we all have our affections, we all have our needs, and at some basic level, that's, like you say, that's what we need to live in peace, to have our loved ones around us and connected. That's really what we all need.
Yeah, and we've seen such inventive ideas for bringing people together. Like, you know, we saw in Italy, for example, people singing from the balconies and all this. And there's a lot. And we had last week, we had a guy on the air who was doing bingo in the local flats. Okay, so so he was calling the numbers and everybody was on their balconies with their books, right? Which I thought was really inventive. So all this kind of bringing people together. And also, I suppose, the devil makes work for idle hands. We're going to have a lot of children born in about 9 months' time.
And a lot of divorces. I think these are going to be the two main outcomes.
And no infidelity. No infidelity, because husband and wife can't leave the house to see the mistress.
One does feel for the clandestine lovers in this situation. The poor things, how do they go along? How do they manage to keep on their hidden relationships? No way.
and you know, when I said as well, we can see going forward, when all this ends, and it will end, you know, thankfully, it will come to an end at some point, that I said the world wouldn't be the same, but I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way. I think in a very positive way, that we will have gone through something that probably no other generation will go through and hopefully won't go through for a long time.
Yeah.
We've gone through something that brought us all together.
You know, nobody knows. And of course, what you just said is a thought that we all have, like this experience. Especially in the West, we're so used thinking of ourselves as just individuals, at the most our family or our friends. But this thing has really forced us to see ourselves as part of our community. My health is not just something about me, it's also about the rest of the place where I live.
Yeah.
So we're all together in this. And this is, as you say, a very unique experience, at a high cost, of course, but which in a way is a very positive experience. My fear is really about the consequences of the economical aspects of all of this.
Of course, yeah.
The economy in everywhere. I mean, the world is going to be in a terrible recession very soon. This is, I don't need to be an economist to know this. And that is what.
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people have temporarily lost their jobs, and a lot of people will lose their jobs permanently. And and it might take some time for that to come back again. Yeah. Mm,
and again, hopefully, the hope is that this sense of commonality, of solidarity, which you mentioned, is applied immediately as the first thing to solve these economic problems, and not the old way with you know, neoliberalism, tough capitalism solutions, which have not worked in the past, and which probably would even work even less now. So if that solidarity is applied also to the means of solving the huge problems that the world will face after this, wow, that could be something.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not a fan of socialism, but in saying that, I don't believe it would be socialism that will solve it. You're right, it's solidarity, which is very different.
And solidarity, yes.
And I think the governments of the world, including the European Union, the United States of America, of course, and the rest of the world, when we talk about the people who run the economics of the world, they need to come up with a good plan and think outside the box. Essentially,
exactly.
if we need to start printing money and giving it to people to get them back onto the ladder again and get them back into their old lifestyles again, I think we need to do that.
Whatever it takes. And as you say, the European Union is really a crux of this whole solution thing. It's not behaving particularly well in these last days. But, you know, to all my friends who say, the European Union is dead because they're behaving so badly, I always answer, because, you know, I'm a pathological optimist.
It's a good way to be, yeah.
I'd rather be that than the opposite. So what I always answer is, again, we don't know. So let the unfolding of things unfold. It's really too early to give up on anything, even the EU. It's much too early to say, it's a failure. It's problematic. It's complicated. It's difficult. And there are huge, huge problems which have to be solved. But that's what we can do. Look for the solution rather than the, you know, stating the failure. That's slightly too easy, probably.
Well, look, it's a wonderful read. It's in The Guardian. I think it's in one or two other newspapers as well. Helena, was it in the Irish Times today as well?
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I love Ireland a lot. You must know that I really love Ireland a lot. I've come there many times, and I've also been on a writer's retreat in Ireland. So really,
I believe your profile picture was actually taken in Kerry.
It is. Yes, exactly. In Kilraelic. It's a wonderful writer's retreat.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you could sit there, you know, happily in the Ring of Kerry and get great inspiration for writing. It's a wonderful place and a beautiful place.
But it was a great experience. Yeah.
Thank you very much, and I wish you well, and keep safe.
I wish
Listen,
you well
thank
too.
You very much indeed. Yes. All right.
Stay safe.
There you go. There's Francesca Malendri, who is an author and writer. And that article, by the way, is in the Irish Times today. It also was in The Guardian yesterday. And it's probably in most newspapers. As she said, it's been translated into so many different languages this day, something that she didn't expect when she wrote it. But it's a wonderful piece, and a wonderful piece to read, by the way. And it talks about everything and every aspect of what we're going through at the moment. Not so much the deaths and the tragedy, but the way our lives have changed.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.